Chagiga, Per Gimel, Mishnah Base, 3-2, and the Mishnah continues its enumerating the 11 ways in which there are strictures that apply to when you're dealing with kachim that don't apply to truma. So we had the first five in the previous Mishnah. We'll have numbers 6, 7, 8, and 9 right now in Mishnah Base. And the Mishnah says, Kelim hanigmarn b'tahara, any utensil which whose manufacture was completed in a state of purity. So when you're manufacturing a utensil, don't forget that until the gemar malacha, the completion of the utensil, if it's not finished and completed and ready for use, so then it's simply not susceptible to tuma. So therefore, until it's completed its manufacture, it couldn't become tame, even if, you know, a tame person touched it, etc. So here you've got a utensil that the last finishing touch is being done by someone who's a chaver, who's totally reliable to be tahor. So the question is, after he finishes his manufacture, like, what could go wrong, right? It just became susceptible right now, and he's the one who's doing it, and he's totally tahor. Can you use such a utensil? For truma, the answer is yes. For kachim, the answer is no. That's what the Mishnah says. Kelim hanigmarin b'tahara. If they were completed in a state of tahara, tzrich and tevil kodesh. You'll need to put it into a mikveh anyways if you're going to use it with kodesh. Kachim of alula truma, but not for truma. Why is that? So the rabbis had this really outside concern, which is that maybe a person came to talk with the chaver doing the manufacture of the utensil, and right when they were talking, some spittle happened to come out of the mouth of the Am HaAretz who was talking to this chaver, and it's sitting there still wet, and although the utensil right now can't become tameh, as soon as the finishing touch is applied to it by the chaver, the moisture from the spittle is still sitting on the utensil, now rendering it tameh. Therefore, it has to go into the mikvah. Worth noting is that the Gemara says that since this is really just like rather far out, so normally when a utensil goes to mikvah, as I said in the previous Mishnah, you have to wait until nightfall to use it. It's a tevul yom until then, which would mean that if we knew for a fact that this had been exposed to an Am HaAretz, we'd have to go to the mikvah, and then you'd have to wait till nightfall before using it for kachim. But here, in the case of our Mishnah, where it's just this outside, far-out concern, once you put it in the mikvah, it can be used immediately for kachim. Second of all, we say that Hakli mitzarif masha besocha lekodesh avolo letruma. If you have a utensil that's containing multiple items, let's say you got a big pile of grapes on a tray or in a bowl or in a cup, so, and let's say that a tamei person touches the top grape on the top of the big pile. So now, does that make all the grapes the whole way down tamei? The answer normally would be no, right? Let's say the person is an av, so the grape he touches is a rishon, one step removed, and all the grapes that grape is touching become shniyim, two steps removed, and if they're truma grapes, then the grapes touching those grapes become three steps removed, and pasul, and that's it. After that, any grapes further down on the pile are still permitted. Our point of our mission here is that if all the grapes are sitting not just in a pile, but a pile on a utensil, and here, even if we're talking about a tray, a flat tray, that doesn't have technically a base kibble or receptacle, the point is the tray, or certainly if it's a bowl or whatever, a cup, it is mitzaref, it combines the disparate pieces to make them treated as if they're a single mass. So if one grape becomes tame in the scenario described, all the grapes become tame and ruined if you're talking about kachim, but not the case for truma. And that is what the Mishnah says here. Hakli, a utensil, mitzaref, combines masha besocho, all the different elements within it, lakodesh, if you're talking about kachim, avalola truma, but not for truma. Truma, throw away the grapes, the first three levels of grapes, if you know what I mean, and then everything else below that would be tahor. Now, the basis for this, the Gemara actually brings a pasuk. The pasuk, and actually, there are actually 11 pasukim that say the same thing, in Parshas Naso and Bamidbar. It says, kaf achas, and one spoon, asara zahav malea katoris, which means you have a kaf achas, one spoon, asara that weighed 10 shekels, zahav made of gold, malea katoris, filled with incense. Now, the word achas for kaf achas, one spoon, is superfluous. It could have just said a kaf, or simply a kaf that weighed 10 shekel. Why does it have one spoon? So that one, there's a drasha to be made from it that we're saying that the spoon makes all of the katoris inside unified as if it were one, meaning if any one grain is exposed to tuma, then all the grains inside the spoon become tame because they're kachim. Now, If you take it at face value, that would be a drush from a pasuk, making this din, the din that a kli, a utensil, is mitzaref, combines all the contents, for kachim, a doraisa content, and that's how some Rishonim learn. Others learn that it's really rabbinic, and this pasuk is just an asmachta. It's like a hook onto which to hang this rabbinic stricture that applies to kachim. Whatever the case, that's certainly the din. Okay, and we have two more still in our Mishnah. So here comes now the next one, which is going to be number 8, that we've said repeatedly that when it comes to foodstuffs, chulin can at most be 2 degrees separated, a sheni l'toma, truma, which would mean truma gedola, as well as trumas meiser, as well as bikurim, as well as chala, hafreshes chala, all those things can be not just a sheni, but even a shlishi l'toma, a 3rd degree separated, and at that point they're called pasul, it's ruined. And when it comes to kachim, it can go even a 4th stage to become a revi'i, to become pasul. Worth noting also that when something is tame, it's called tame, but if it's tame and can't convey tuma further, like in the case of truma, if it's already a shlishi, the 3rd degree removed, since that can't make anything further tame, it's not called tame, it's called pasul, just unfit. And same goes for kachim, but the word pasul, when it comes to truma, means it's a shlishi, and pasul, when it comes to kachim, is a revi'i. Okay, now this idea that there's such thing as revi'i when it comes to kachim, but only shlishi when it comes to truma, is the very point of our Mishnah here, which says, ha-revi'i b'kodesh pasul, that a 4th stage removed from the tuma source, avatuma, at that point it's still pasul and invalid when it comes to kachim, but v'ha-shlishi b'truma, only 3 steps removed is invalidating for truma, but a 4th step would still be permitted. Okay, there's another machlokas here with Shonim. If this din is rabbinic or midoraisa, the Rambam learns it's rabbinic. According to the Rambam, foodstuffs, ochlin, can only become at most midoraisa a sheni l'toma, a 2nd step removed, and these extra levels of vashlishi for truma and even revi'i for kachim are purely rabbinic extensions, rabbinic in nature, but other Rishonim learn that the shlishi level for truma and revi'i for kachim are actually doraisa, and the difference would be a doraisa difference. Okay, and the final of our Mishnah here, the 9th out of 11 that we're going to deal in total, we say, uva truma im nitmes achas miyadav chaverta tahora. If you're dealing with truma, and let's say one of your hands become tame, the other hand remains tahor. So, remember, we've said that midoraisa, either you're in or you're out. Your whole person is tame or tahor. However, there are certain rabbinic sources of tuma that, like for example, tame food and drink, as well as a kisvei kodesh, that can convey tuma to just your hands. So if only your right hand touched the tame food, your left hand would remain tahor. So the point of our Mishnah is, in that scenario, you could, if your right hand touched the tame food, your left hand could still be tahor, and it could hold truma, and everything's going to be okay. Uva kodesh, when it comes to kachim, not the case. Even if one hand becomes tame, so the other one has to be treated tame as well. And the Mishnah says, uva kodesh mat bil shtehen. You have to actually immerse both hands. Remember when it comes to, we learned in the previous parak, that when it comes to kachim, if one hand becomes tame, netila, washing's not enough. You actually have to immerse it in a mikvah, and that's the point here. If one hand becomes tame, touching, let's say, the tame food, so then matbil shtehen, both of them have to go into the mikvah, the one that touched and the one that didn't. Sheyad metame es chaverta bekodesh, because if one hand is tame, the other hand is considered tame as well when it comes to dealing with kachim, avalo betruma. Not true when it comes to truma. You could have 2 separate statuses, one tame, one not tame. The Gemara actually, and the Bartzner brings us, actually differentiates between whether the hand has moisture on it or not, the hand that was exposed to the tumah. Okay? So if there's no lichluchas, if there's no moisture on the hand that became tame, so then the other hand doesn't become tame. That's true even when it comes to kachim. If the hands do touch each other, so then of course the second one needs to be immersed in a mikvah. That's true whether it's wet or dry, but if you're talking about truma, then even if the hands do touch each other, so then you don't need to wash the second hand, because the first hand that was exposed is a sheni, and since there's no moisture on it, it would make the second hand, so to speak, a shlishi, which can't posel truma anyways.